Our speaker for this next hour is Brother Kevin Keehan.
Tomorrow, this country will celebrate our independence as a nation and the freedoms of which we enjoy as citizens here in the United States. And as I started thinking in reference to the fact of us being established as a nation and the multiple blessings and freedoms that we enjoy, my mind immediately went to the blessings that we receive as Christians in Christ. We are indeed the people of God. And as God's chosen people in Christ, we are forgiven of our sins and we are given hope beyond this life of an eternal life in heaven with God. And good people, as a result of the blessings that God has bestowed upon us, we are indeed enjoying the freedoms as Christians. In this, though, as I thought, in relation to the freedoms that we share and enjoy as God's children, those freedoms are not free. In the book of Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." It is God's gift in that which we have of salvation. But yet at the same time, good people, that gift is indeed not free. Why? Because according to what the Apostle Paul stated in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, Christ died for the ungodly. So today, what I want us to do, first off, is I want to compare the freedoms that we have in relation to a nation here in the United States, but also to draw the bottom line to the freedoms that we have in Jesus Christ and to make the application all the way down the line. Good people, as the United States, I believe that we are indeed truly blessed in multiple ways. I've had the privilege and opportunity to go to various countries and to do mission work and to visit these countries. And while I enjoy the time that I've been able to share and to be in these countries and to meet different people and to see the scenery, I tell you that there is no place like here in the United States. The scenery that God has blessed us with here, as well as the multiple blessings that we have bestowed upon us, are amazing. But that which should certainly excite us above all is the freedom that we have. Why do we have freedom? Why do we have the blessings of which we have here in the United States? Good people, I believe first and foremost, it's because God. Do you remember what God said unto the children of Israel? That if they would keep His standards, that if they would follow according to His laws, the commandments that He had laid down, that God would be their God, and that they would be His people, and that God would continue to be with them and to provide for them and to protect them. And good people, today I contend that the reason that we are where we are as a nation is because of our forefathers, because of the stands that these men, and also because of the stands that our families and the church has taken for many, many years, and that is to turn to our God. And we understand certainly that we are in part where we are today because of our government and because of our military. And also, though, I contend that we need to attribute this to our God. Why? Because God is responsible, according to what we find in the book of Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 7, for the establishing of government. God has put government in place. Why? So that it's there for the people, that government is there, and that our military, as a result of our government, is there to protect our people. Why do we enjoy the freedom that we enjoy here in the United States? Because of God. Because God has, and because God continues to work. But yet at the same time, this morning I tell you, and I realize that it has been very costly on the home front as well. It has been very costly as a nation in order for us to have the freedoms and the blessings that we enjoy. First off, we need to understand is that it has been very costly in times of war. Since 2001, with Iraq and Afghanistan, today those figures are $1.2 trillion, and those figures continue to add up each and every second of every hour. But also we need to understand is that it has cost time. 415 days approximately has been spent in war, and that's 96,360 hours that men and women have invested in their time, in the time that it takes to defend our freedom. But also, good people, that which tops the list as far as I'm concerned is life. There have been 6,026 casualties. And that term casualty is a casual way of saying individuals who have died, individuals who have given their life in order for us to be blessed, in order for us to receive the freedom that we have and enjoy as a nation. In Iraq, 4,442 men and women. In Afghanistan, 1,584 souls have lost their lives in order for us to have the freedom that we enjoy as a nation. And today, I say to those strong and brave soldiers of the United States, we want to say thank you. Thank you for giving of your time. Thank you for giving and sacrificing of your families, and also for giving of your lives in order for us to have the freedom that we enjoy here in the United States. And truly, if it were not for you, we would not be blessed as what we are here in the United States. And today, as I stand before you, as myself, on the behalf of myself and the congregation, I pray that God will continue to bless you and your families for all that you have done and all that you continue to offer to us as a people and as a country. But good people, also spiritually speaking, as Christians, you and I are indeed blessed. All of our spiritual blessings come from Jesus Christ. And the greatest blessing that you and I have is freedom. And the Bible tells us that that freedom that we enjoy as New Testament Christians is salvation. And that word salvation literally means to be saved. And what is it that God says that we are saved of? The Bible identifies for us that we are saved from our sins. God has established laws that He expects His people to follow. But yet at the same time, we come to an understanding that mankind turns away from God. And when we violate the laws of God, the Bible tells us that when we transgress those laws, that we sin against God. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. And good people, as a result of our transgressing the law of God, sinning against God, we are lost. We have no hope. We have no relationship with God while we live here in this world. And therefore, God, in His love for us, sent Jesus Christ into the world to give a means of salvation wherein that we can have our sins forgiven. And good people, whenever we come to a faith in Christ, and whenever we come to a recognition of all that God has done for us, and whenever we develop within ourselves a love for God, the love, and to realize the love that He has for us, and give ourselves to Christ in baptism, the Bible tells us that our sins are washed away. Well, what does it mean that our sins are washed away? It means that God has forgiven us. It means that now we are in a right relationship with God. It means that we are children of God. It means that we are partakers of the promises that are found in Jesus Christ. Well, what does that mean to people? It means that we're able to go throughout the course of this life realizing, and with great joy concerning the fact that we are indeed a child of our Creator. But also it means that we can look beyond this life to the promises that God has established in Christ. Well, what are the promises that God has established in Christ beyond this life? He has promised us, good people, that if we will continue to live our lives faithful to Him constantly as we go throughout the course of this life, that heaven shall be our final abode, that we can be with God throughout all eternity. God has given us hope because of the freedom that we now have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Hebrews writer claims in the book of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19 that this hope we have so steadfast as an anchor, so steadfast and sure. It is solid. It is concrete. We can take it to the bank. In this, good people, today, I tell you, though, that whenever we think in reference to our salvation, we need to understand that indeed it is a gift from God. The Apostle Paul, when writing to the saints at Ephesus, in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves, lest anyone boast." I've met and know some really good people here at East End. And in this, they are very good and godly people and humanitarians even, to reach out and to do great deeds for individuals. But yet at the same time, those people, none of us in fact, can save ourselves. There's nothing that you and I can do. There's nothing that you and I can dream up and participate in or to even lead the way in within ourselves to merit or to earn our salvation. Why? Because it is because of God's grace, His good favor, His mercy, that you and I are able to have an opportunity to be saved. Faith is our part. We believe in God, and then because of our belief in God, we then therefore do the commandments of God. We obey and do everything that He commands us to do. In fact, though, we need to understand it as what the Apostle Paul stated in the book of Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. As we have already alluded to, he says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." What a gift it is, amen? A gift that God has given to man to reconcile us, to give us a relationship in Jesus. But today I tell you that that gift is indeed extremely costly. Who has it cost? Good people, it has cost God, our Father, His Son. In the book of John chapter 3 and verse 16, we read, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." I cannot think of a love any greater, a love that is any deeper and any more expressed than that type of love. God loves His created beings, mankind, so much that whenever He realizes, as He has in all eternity, that man was going to sin, even before the world was created, He created a plan wherein that man could be justified. That's love. Knowing, even before we were existent here in this world, that you and I would violate His laws. But yet God, in His love, He was willing to surrender, to offer His Son at Calvary's cross. And good people, the interesting thing of it is that God is not alone. It cost Jesus Christ His life on the cross. Jesus died for the ungodly. Romans chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for adventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God, He commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly." Jesus willingly gave His life. And somebody might say, "Well, now wait a second, Kevin. Didn't they crucify Him? Aren't they the ones who arrested Him and took Him and put Him on trial? And then aren't they the ones who said, 'Crucify Him, crucify Him'? And how's it His sacrifice?" In the book of John chapter 10 and verse 17 and 18, Jesus tells us that no one took His life from Him except He lay it down Himself. They could not have done what it was that they accomplished, good people, if it were not for Jesus. His willingness, His personal desire, His devotion to heaven's plan, and His love for you and His love for me to go to the cross for our sins. In fact, in the book of John chapter 15 and verse 14, Jesus said, "Greater loveth no man than this, and that a man lay down his life for his friends." Jesus died for our sins personally in order for us to have the hope of an eternal life in heaven with God. It cost the Father His Son, and it cost Jesus Christ His life. And today I tell you that it will cost us our life. Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command of you." According to what we find in the book of Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7, is that whenever we are planted with Christ in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. In the context of what is stated there, good people, God commands mankind, as well as what we find elsewhere, our God commands mankind to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. What is scriptural baptism? It is whenever an individual will confess that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of the living God. And whenever that individual will surrender themselves, submit themselves to walk in newness of life, to repent of their sins, and then whenever they do these things, whenever they are willing to commit to this level to God, then that they are washed in the watery grave of baptism, fully immersed, according to what the Bible says, to be buried, to be completely covered, and then they are raised to do what? To no longer walk according to the ways of the world, to no longer walk in a way that will be pleasing and acceptable to self or to others, but rather that which will be focused upon our God. In all of this, we understand according to what is taught in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He says that those individuals will not be conformed to the world, but rather that they will be transformed by the renewing of their mind. God expects us to transform. He expects us to change our lives, to live our lives according to godliness. Salvation is indeed a gift from God, but it's not free. God wants us to commit our lives to living our lives fully towards Him, to the level of what the Apostle Paul realized and sought to do throughout the course of his life, as is explained in the book of Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. What is it that Paul is saying to people? He's saying, I have been crucified with Christ. At this point, he had not died physically, but rather he had died to himself. When had he done this? He died to himself whenever he had put Christ on in baptism. He realized that life was no longer about himself. He came to understand that it's not about the pleasures that this world has to offer, but rather about the hope that is found in Jesus Christ, God's Son and our Savior. And for this reason, Paul says, I no longer want to live like that. I want to live my life according to godliness. And Paul says, I now live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And good people, today, you and I, each and every day, need to realize the freedom that we have in Jesus and to appreciate so much that gift that God has given us and to realize the cost on the behalf of our God, the Father, and also on the behalf of Christ. But also to realize that it is not totally free to us, in the fact that we must now live our lives, to give our lives, to sacrifice our lives, to live faithful to God and to the end. Today we want to ask you a question. Have you accepted God's gift of salvation? According to what we find in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any would perish, but that all would come unto repentance. Who has a chance of salvation? In Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How do we call upon the name of the Lord? Good people, we call upon the name of the Lord by doing what God commands us to do. What is it that God commands us to do? Jesus explains this in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. These individuals will be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of their sins. Today we ask, have you accepted God's gift of salvation? Or maybe we need to ask that question, why haven't you accepted God's gift of salvation if you've not yet done that? What's keeping you from the Lord? What's hindering you from obeying, to responding to the gospel call, to surrendering your life and to submitting your life over to God? What's keeping you from that? If it's something that you need to think about and to talk about and to study about, please let us know, and we would love to have the opportunity to sit and to discuss these matters, these most important matters, with you. Or if you're here today and you've made that decision to put Christ on in baptism, or maybe you're here and you've erred from the way of the Lord,